Hello, my name is Peter Brummel, and today I'm going to be talking about the impossibility of evolutionism, explaining the evolution of genetic information. To begin with, information is found at all levels of life, from the smallest cell to the largest animal. However, this information is impossible to explain from an evolutionary vantage point. Before we look at this problematical fact, let us consider exactly what the purported mechanisms of evolution, natural selection, and mutations do to an organism. Mutations are changes in the genetic code of an organism. These changes are due either to faulty copying of the organism's DNA or accumulated genetic damage from things like ultraviolet light. For example, asbestos, a fibrous mineral, was commonly used for fiber-proof insulation in the past. The only problem with asbestos is that it causes mutations which leads to cancer, which is why they only used it in the past. Asbestos fibers cause cancer when they are breathed in. Once in your lungs, these sharp fibers cut apart your DNA, causing many mutations and eventually cancer. Natural selection has a broad definition. It includes a number of ideas. One aspect of natural selection is the fact that organisms can sense their surroundings and accordingly turn genes on and off, which is called gene regulation. The more typical part of natural selection is its ability to remove harmful or less beneficial traits through an organism's interactions with an environment. For example, a sick animal will probably be caught by a hunter carnivore. And that would be an example of the sick animal, natural selection acting upon it. The more typical part also includes that an organism that has mutations in cancer from breathing in asbestos is less likely to survive and produce offspring. Now that we have looked at the work of mutations in natural selection, let us consider evolution's impossibility to explain the evolution of genetic information. I once made a game in which you started with money and you could buy businesses from the bank. The game was a failure because it was a closed system. Whenever anything was bought from the bank, money was lost and there was no way to regain it. So money just slowly filtered out of the game every time somebody bought a business and could not be regained. Eventually, everyone went bankrupt, which was another effect of the closed system. Biology is just like that game. If you start with genetic material and modify or eliminate parts of it, the amount of genetic material will slowly dwindle until no more is left. Natural selection works by removing genes from the population. If natural selection works by removing genes or genetic material from the genome of an organism, then the first form of life must have had the most complex genome of all organisms. Because natural selection works by removing genes, evolutionists must conclude that all genetic material is but a vestige of the common ancestors. The genome is a closed system. Once made, this information can be modified, removed, or regulated, but not added. If evolution is true, then the common ancestor of all life must have had the largest genome sequence of any organism. The largest genome today is that of Parus japonica, a rare Japanese flowering plant. This plant has 150 billion base pairs of DNA. Because of this flower, evolutionists are then forced to assume either that genetic information has been added to organisms, or that the common ancestor of all life had many more billions of base pairs of DNA than Parus japonica. Scientists have estimated that up to 60 new mutations are added every generation in humans. If this is so, then even in the past supposed hundreds of thousands of years that humans have been around, we should have genetically deteriorated very much. This is especially amazing when considering living fossils. These organisms look exactly alike to their ancestors that supposedly lived millions of years ago. But at the rate which today's mutations occur, evolutionists are forced to assume that much evolution has taken place, although the organisms are identical. Thus, the only logical conclusion left for evolutionists to take is that new genetic information must have been added after the first organism evolved. As we have already seen, natural selection does not provide genetic information. It is a destructive and not creative force. And thus, the only other method to which new genetic information can be attributed is mutations. However, mutations are not a creative force either. Mutations change or delete existing information. They do not add new information. For mutations to have created the diversity of life, there would have had to have been unlimited genetic information for them to erase and modify. Mutations and natural selection cannot account for the amount of genetic information found in organisms. As has already been seen in this discussion, both mutations and natural selection rely on enormous amounts of previously existing genetic information. The idea that the first animal to evolve had the largest genome of any organism is preposterous. The first organism to evolve ought to have been the simplest, not the most complex, even if the majority of the genetic information was non-coding. Also, we must be forced to conclude that the first organism to evolve had more genetic information than Parus japonica, which is more than 150 billion base pairs of DNA. So as we have seen, the idea that mutations and natural selection cause evolution is a myth. Rather, mutations and natural selection fuel a downward spiral of degeneration. Thank you for listening.